CliffCentral.com.
So let's move on to something that's a lot more interesting. Jaco went and did a race in the mountains. Yeah. So here's Jaco Voigt. Jaco is busy. Yeah. He's always running around. And last time we spoke to you on the show, you said you were going to do this. This is a very hectic thing that you and your wife are into, these races and things. Where was this last one? In the Drakensberg?
In Drakensberg, yes. Good morning, everybody. I came in late into the conversation, but talking about Stockholm syndrome, you've motivated me now to go and lay charges against Eskom, because I feel like I'm in a love-hate relationship.
Don't worry. Right, exactly. But let's just talk about your race quickly, Jaco, because a lot of people are into all these things. We often talk to Ben about his cold bath in the morning, and we've got people on the show who are doing all kinds of things to keep themselves fit and healthy and involved in the world, engaged in living. What is this stuff that you do?
So, two weekends ago we did, there's a race in Drakensberg in close to Underberg in Imbel called Ultra Trail Drakensberg. And then I've got different distances, so 21, 32, 64, 100, and 160.
But is so this on we the did bike?
No, this is on foot.
Hiking.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. See, that's harder.
We try and run, so it's a bit quicker hiking than hiking. No. Okay.
You're doing it at an incline, in other words.
I think I'm speaking under correction, but on the 64 and up, the ascent is like 2,000 meters and above. So there's some hectic people out there. There's guys at the 160 kilometers, guys, they kick off in Lesotho and then they end up in Drakensberg. So that's, there's some crazy cats out there. We did the second the baby up one. So we did 32.
I couldn't do 3 kilometers of that. Dude. It's amazing.
Very misleadingly, they call it the sundowner race because you start at 1:30, and it sounds lovely. But basically, what it means is what we learned is 6 o'clock sharp. The lights are off in Drakensberg. It's dark. So the last hour and a bit, we were in pitch black darkness with mist and rain. So it was interesting.
Not pleasant. It does kind of, again, make you think you're putting yourself in this situation, but there's some people that this is their daily existence. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Yeah,
the guy that the last finisher of the 160 kilometers, he was on his feet for 48 hours and he finished. He was like 2 days straight. He was just going. So we always talk about the winners, but you must just imagine the mental grit of that guy, knowing there's nobody left, and he just keeps on going, So
it's insane. To me, like, as soon as someone else has won the rest of you should just stop and go home, because I mean you're not going to win. But I think there
it's
is
not about winning.
I know. My sarcasm. But I do think there's something quite outstanding about someone who's prepared to, just for their own sake, say, I've done this thing. Definitely. 48 hours he was on his feet.
48 hours, yeah. And he's well in his 50s, so it's not like it's a proper shift.
There's hope. There's hope for all of us. Okay. So, Jaco, let's just turn our attention to something I asked you about last time you were on the show. And in fact, I don't even think we asked you. I think it was the discussion we had, and I thought, we've got to ask you. And then I know that the team has told you that this is something that we are concerned about. Why is it at the end of every month, it feels like they're throttling your data, whether it's on a fixed line, whether it's on 5G, LTE, whatever it is? Is it true, first of all, or is this a big conspiracy theory?
Well, I think it's important to there is a very big distinction between fixed line and mobile data. So on a fixed line infrastructure, you shouldn't feel that, because it's almost like there's a sunk cost investment. So there's no real benefit for the service provider to throttle data. It's a you're opening the taps and it doesn't matter, you know, the pipe is as big as the pipe is. So on a fixed line, you shouldn't experience that. Historically, okay. Because of the way that, just the way that the regulatory environment worked, you know, historically in the olden days, everybody had to dial up. So you were restricted by the time that you were about allowed to spend on time online.
You remember that sound
when ADSL, yeah. And then when ADSL came out, then there was a trend to build these packages where you say you buy 20 gigs worth of data or this or that. But really these days, if it's on a fixed line infrastructure, it should just go. Obviously, there's times of the month like where networks might tend to be busier due to certain events. You know, it might be month end and a lot of businesses are doing payments and salaries and this and that. And so right. It's actually interesting. I always say to my team, you know, if you look at the network, which is this, you know, just this thing, it's actually alive. It actually tells you how people behave. So when there's a big sporting event or a big online something that's happening, obviously networks can tend to get a bit more busier and that might cause capacity issues, but it shouldn't be a regular thing that you experience the whole time. The minute you go into the world of data, that is a whole different ballgame because there's, you know, that's consumption based. So you'll see there's very little in the mobile world, very little uncapped up or just eat as much as you like type offerings because there's a continuous underlying cost to the mobile networks. And that's their model. You know, they basically charge on a continuous basis for using their access paths, if you want to call it that. They in turn pay money to the regulator and to government for using the spectrum. So there's a whole, commercial.
What can you tell us about the way people do behave when it comes to data and internet usage? I mean, is the end of the month always a busy time? Mm. Is that something that we must just get used to? Is that, you know, there's more traffic at that time? It's like traffic on the roads. And when are people most busy online? Is it during work hours? Is it at the end of the workday? Is it the beginning? Like what kind of patterns do you pick up with Catalytic and you and your clients?
So look, from our perspective, we obviously focus on business. So we are acutely aware of the fact that end of the month, you know, if we have a customer that's got a connectivity issue, let's say their line's down for some reason or stuff like that, you know, customers tend to be a bit more antsy towards that time of the month. But it really depends on the types of services that you deliver. So, you know, in all honesty and fairness, you know, if we look at it, in a residential scenario, so be it fixed line or mobile, if you think about it, we sort of back to that pattern now where everybody gets in their car and goes to work and school and all that type of stuff. And then 4 or 5 o'clock-ish, they return home and all of a sudden everybody goes online. So that definitely has a effect on what your experience is. So you'll hear that people will say, even in a fixed line scenario, people will say, you know, during the day it's lovely, and then all of a sudden 5 o'clock in the afternoon it gets slow because all of a sudden whatever amount of people in your neighborhood comes and they jump online and then it sort of settles down. I've also seen in our where I stay in the community group, where people refer to the fact that you know, when there's load shedding, why does the mobile data get slower? And it's really a scenario of, you know, let's say everybody's got mobile data as a backup, and all of a sudden the fixed line goes down. There's all of a sudden 1,000 or 2,000 connections onto the same base station. It is difficult. It is a difficult scenario to maintain that those spikes in your capacity that you have. But again, like I say, you know, I mean, again, in the fixed line world, you should have a relatively consistent feel and experience for things. It shouldn't do that. You know, it shouldn't be up
all right,
and down.
But so leaving fixed line aside, is it true then that once you get to the end of the month, your cell phone provider throttles you? I mean, is this always true, or is it sometimes true, or does it depend on circumstances?
You're going to get me in trouble now, Garrett, because there was very specific claims from people that says that said the mobile guys, if I can use a South African term, they chow their data or they, it just mm-hmm. disappears. My personal feeling, I don't have fact to back it up. I think with load shedding and your phone trying to connect and find maybe a lower down data stream, to me it seems that like the data bundles get consumed a lot quicker. There's a very big I'm convinced in the large mobile guys have got actuaries that actually sits and works out how to optimize their data stuff. So again, like I say, you want to get me in trouble here, but I'll say I've definitely heard the same. And there's been a number of scenarios
I'd rather ask you, even if you don't have the facts to back you up, than ask them, because they're going to send those actuaries here and they're going to lie to us.
What? Us? Never.
No. Here's a spreadsheet that can prove we've never done anything wrong. You're like, yeah. Okay, so here's a question. So Jared, it's more of a comment than a question. Jared says, it seems to be only South African mobile providers that do not offer affordable unlimited services. They're not giving up the money. They are sticking from their users. George Meany says, bring on Starlink. Is that even in the universe of possibilities?
It is in a universe of possibilities. So Starlink is switching on in a number of African countries. They're not switching on in South Africa because there's a regulatory concern or issue around them coming in. So Elon Musk has just basically said, okay, right, we'll go elsewhere where people welcome it until the call it the regulatory environment or the government is willing to accept them on fair and reasonable terms, basically, yeah. But I've seen that there are guys that in South Africa that has already switched on, and quite honestly, I think it'll be amazing for the economy and for growth and people in rural areas where connectivity is really, really bad. I think it'll be amazing for them. So I think it's a bit of a frustrating scenario that because Starlink, I think we need to do more to entice them to switch on their services. Yeah. I think they're going live.
And the only reason this regulatory environment, what they're basically saying is they want a slice of the pie. I don't see why, if you're providing people with free internet or cheap internet, the government should have anything to do with that whatsoever. Just call me cynical, but I think that they're just trying to get a piece of the pie for themselves. Anyway, well, there we go. We're out of time for this morning, but thank you for clearing this up for us. You are the guy that we can trust on these things.
Yep.
And don't miss Unbundled with Yaku a little bit later on today and every Tuesday here on cliffcentral.com. Thanks, Yaku. We'll check in with you later.
Thank you very much. I'll see you in a bit. cliffcentral.com.